Hello and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Mike Moret, and today we are in Mark chapter 6, verse 1. And this is our fourth study in the Gospel of Mark. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessing to the word that we're about to study. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark 6, verse 1 says that he, that is Jesus, went away from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. Jesus returns to Nazareth, where he grew up. And it says in verse 2, and on the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, where did this man get all this? What is the wisdom given to him? What mighty works are wrought by his hands? The hometown folks watched and listened to Jesus, and they were stunned by his wisdom and his miraculous power. Their big question was, where did he get the ability to do these things? Verse 3. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph, and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. The hometown folks were saying, he can't be anything special. He's just one of us. Not only that, he's just a carpenter, just a blue-collar worker. Verse 4. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. That's a fact. Don't be shocked. Or feel like you have failed God if your family or longtime friends don't listen to you when you talk to them about Christ. As a rule, people get a better response from strangers. 5. And he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. Now, Jesus did not do a bunch of miracles in Nazareth, hoping that it would convince these stubborn, worldly-minded sinners that he was the Messiah. He could have done a bunch of miracles, but it would have been like begging. They had their mind made up about Christ. Verse 6. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went about among the villages teaching. They were amazed at his miracles and his wisdom, which is why Jesus was amazed at their rejection of him. Why are you rejecting me if you're amazed at my words and my actions? It makes sense. Verse 6. And he called to him the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. Jesus sent his men out in pairs. It's not good to be a spiritual loner. It's good to have help and support when you're doing the work of the Lord. Verse 8, and he charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts. Verse 9, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And this is what the Bible is talking about when it says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be added unto you. The disciples here were to obey God, trust Him, do what He says, and just trust God to provide with whatever they might need. Verse 10. And he said to them, where you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. In other words, if God supplies someone who shows them hospitality, they are to receive it and they are to be content with it. 11. And if any place will not receive you and they refuse to hear you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet for a testimony against them. It is the responsibility of a minister or teacher to give out the truth. The people who hear are then accountable to God for what they do with it. Verse 12. So they went out and preached that men should repent. Saving faith includes repentance. That's something that's not talked about much today in some circles. Verse 13. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. And the oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. God tells us in James 5:14 to anoint the sick with oil and pray over them. No magic, just a obedient act of faith. 14. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said, John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead. That is why these powers are at work in him. John the Baptist never did a miracle in his life. But Herod thinks that John has come back from the dead with new supernatural powers. Herod thinks that John, or that Jesus, is John in another body. 15. But others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. When people do not accept the truth, they eventually believe a lie. Now, Jesus claimed to be the sinless, eternal Son of God. Those who would not believe him came up with their own beliefs about Jesus. And there were many different beliefs, all of them wrong. 16. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. Herod's guilty conscience is making him paranoid. 17. For Herod had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. Boy, there were no preliminary hearings in that day. There were no grand juries to see if a suspect should be charged with a crime and put on trial. All Herod the king had to say was, I do not like John. Guards arrest him and kill him and chop off his head. And it was done, and that's what happened. For John said to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Herod married his sister-in-law, whose name was Herodias. They were guilty of adultery. And John did not let him get away with it. He publicly condemned the king and the queen in his preaching. And of course, they didn't like that. 19. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not. Herodias hated John because he told her that she needed to repent of her sin. Verse 20. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and kept him safe. When he heard him, he was much perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. Herod liked listening to John preach. He did not repent. It appears as if he just listened for kicks. Herod wasn't too smart. But he was smart enough to know that putting a holy man like John the Baptist to death would result in trouble for him, so he didn't want to do that. 21. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and the leading men of Galilee. Herod invited all the big shots to his birthday party. People of influence, people he wanted to impress. 22. For when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guest. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will grant it. God gave this young girl beauty, but she used her beauty in an ungodly way. She used it to manipulate this perverted king. 23. And he vowed to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half of my kingdom." This 15 or maybe 16-year-old girl has a blank check from the king. Whatever she wants, she can have. Boy, power like that is a dangerous thing in the hands of an ungodly person. 24. And she went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptizer." Herodias didn't even have to think about the answer. This was the opportunity she had been looking for. 25. And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." She hurried back to Herod. Her and her mother probably didn't want him to sober up or pass out and then maybe forget his promise. They wanted to strike while the iron was hot, as it were. Verse 26, and the king was exceedingly sorry. But because of his oaths and his guest, he did not want to break his word to her. Herod's lust and his desire to be a big shot in front of his guest is the thing that has him in this predicament. And it will take courage to get out of this predicament in the right way. But he doesn't have any courage. And he doesn't have any holy conviction. So he won't do the right thing. 27. And immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard and gave orders to bring his head. And he went and beheaded him in prison. And John was set free. Death was his ticket out of prison. And death was his ticket to paradise. Herod is the prisoner. He's the prisoner of guilt. And he's miserable. 28. It says, and he brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in the tomb. They shut John's mouth, and they made a gruesome exhibition out of his head. And they may have felt a measure of satisfaction at first, but when it wore off, the guilt came back. You can shut the mouth of God's preachers, but you cannot get rid of truth. 30. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. They healed the sick, they drove out demons, and they preached the word of God, and now they're back telling Jesus all about it. Verse 31. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a lonely place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. There was stress and hard work involved in their ministry. So Jesus insists that they get away and rest for a while. And you know, they didn't wait until there wasn't anything to do before they got away and rested. They walked away from people and more good things that they could have done because it was time for a break. Verse 32. And they went away in a boat to a lonely place by themselves. And notice that they went to a remote place to get rest. You want to spend some quiet time with God, then it's best not to be in a place where you will be interrupted, or where you will see all sorts of other things that you could do. 33. Now many saw them and knew them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. The crowd saw Jesus leaving, anticipated where he was headed and when he would arrive, and they got there before he did. And that's the type of determination that God blesses. Verse 34. As he landed, he saw a great throng, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And so they interrupted their rest. But Christ was not irritated. The people were sincere. They were in need of help, and they wanted help. Verse 35, and when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a lonely place, and the hour is now late." And of course, this was supposed to be their day off, but not only did they labor, they also put in overtime. The apostles, it seems, are being pushed to the limit. I think they want to punch out for the day, and it's getting late. And so they say to Jesus in 36, "Send them away to go into the country and villages around about and buy themselves something to eat." In essence, they are saying, "Send these needy people away so that they can get their needs met." 37, but he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" The apostles do not understand Jesus' command. It would take 7 months' wages of a working man to buy enough food to feed this entire crowd. And they don't have 7 months' wages. And they don't have a semi-truck to haul the food in, even if they did have the money to buy it. 38, and he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. There are probably 15,000 people in this crowd. And the total food on hand, 5 loaves. Each one about the size of a pancake. And they have 2 small fish. 39. Then he commanded them all to sit down by companies upon the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and fifties. Jesus said, "You feed them." And the apostles will feed them with the help of a miracle from Christ. However, there needs to be some time for preparation first. Time to sit down and get decent and in order. And sometimes there's a delay. A time of preparation between the time God calls you to do something and the time He opens up the door for you to do it. A time of preparation between the time that He burdens you to pray for something and it really comes to pass. 41. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. Each time the apostles took a piece of bread, another piece materialized in Jesus' hand. 42. And they all ate and were satisfied. The apostles were asked to do the impossible, and they just finished doing it. You know, when God tells you to do the impossible, do what you can with what you have. Because as you do that, He will provide whatever you need to do whatever He wants you to do for as long as He wants you to do it. 43. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. God will always supply what we need. But that does not mean that we can waste what we have. They had to pick up the leftovers. 44. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. And the reason I said there were probably 15,000 people is because the 5,000 did not include women and any children. And I think we'll stop there and we'll pick up our study in verse 45 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.